I have been a lifelong musician. I think most of you know that. I started singing in a choir when I was in fourth grade. And ever since then, I just had this love and passion of music. Now, because I've sung in so many choirs over the years, they're all a little bit different, and yet somehow all the same. And how many of you have ever seen an entire score, like a symphony score of music? Have you ever seen one before? Sure, a lot of musicians and people who have seen those before, they're typically pretty big, like the original, right? They're on long pieces of paper. Why? Because they've got to list every instrument that's playing in the symphony so that the conductor can see what the violins are supposed to be playing and the French horns are supposed to be playing and the trumpet players, you know, so all of it is on one page. And when you look at it, it looks really chaotic and looks really confusing. And yet, if every instrument is playing the right note at the right time, it somehow comes together and makes this beautiful piece of music. And the same thing happens when you're singing in a choir. You know, you've got the sopranos, the altos, the tenors, and the bass. And when you put all those lines together, sometimes, you know, you got to be able to count, right, to make sure you come in at the right time. I've got to make sure to balance and so that I'm not overpowering Betty, who's usually on my right. And then, or I got to listen for the alto line to come in at this spot so that I don't miss my entrance. And I got to watch Slade when he's up there waving, and he gets really frustrated when people don't look at him. So, yeah, it's one thing, though, to stand up there, but it's another thing. I can't imagine what he probably sees, because we get nervous about sometimes the music we're singing for all of you, and so we're all buried in our music, and Slade is going, look up! The point is this, though. I sung in the Round Rock Community Choir years ago when I was living in Texas, and I don't know if you know who the composer Eric Whitaker is, but he's a very eclectic type composer, and he's written a lot of choral music. And the kind of music, though, that he writes, it sounds as if stuff shouldn't go together. It really sounds quite awkward at first when you're singing it, but if the right pitches are sung at the right time, you get this melodious piece of music that you didn't even think was possible until you hear it. And when I was singing in the Round Rock Community Choir, I remember that every time we sung this one section of choral piece of music by Eric Whitaker, I would start to cry. Like it would emit an emotion, right? And so, but the important thing still is, I got to listen to who's on my right, on my left. Sometimes I got to cut out my vibrato. Sometimes I got to be louder. Sometimes I got to be softer. You know, there's all of these different moving pieces that have got to come together in order to create a beautiful piece of music. And the sounds of nature. How many sounds are there in nature? How many of you have ever sat in your back patio or maybe watched some birds and try to listen for the melody that they are singing? They are singing a melody, right? Sometimes it's annoying when it wakes you up in the morning, but it's there. And in the evening, when the crickets come out and they start doing their chirping, and other insects. In the summertime, I hope to see fireflies around here. Fireflies are my favorite, and I love in the summertime to watch the fireflies. Have you ever heard one? They make a pretty loud buzzing noise if you're close enough to hear them. What else do we hear in nature? Wind, right? We hear wind. Sometimes we hear banging and clacking. Later on this week, I'll be hearing a lot of chainsaws because there was a tree that fell down in my backyard. So Tuesday, they'll be out there with chainsaws. And so all of these different ambient sounds that are all around us, we are so fortunate to be able to hear it. But if you've ever sat in the dark and just listened to nature, it too creates a melody. It too creates this beautiful piece of music that we don't think about as music. It's kind of like that Eric Whitaker piece. You look at the paper and you're going, there is no way this sounds good, but it does when it's sung just right. I say all this because today we are celebrating Global Sunday or Earth Day. I hope to make this service an annual event. Why? Because we should be looking at every Christian around the world and praying for each other. Today we're going to be using the Litany of the Nations, which is the singing, and you'll hear David and Heidi singing all the names of every country that is represented by a flag here. And you got to think about what that sounds like to God, because right now, at this moment, on the other side of the world, there is a Christian group of people, most likely, who was lifting up God's name in prayer and in song, using the drums, the claves, the maracas, and they are lifting and they're yelling God's name in glory. Can you imagine the cacophony of sound that God hears this day, every Sunday? Every Sunday he hears this. People singing out in different tongues and different languages, and it's all being bellowed up to heaven. And then we add our voices to the song. What must that sound like to God? It's a unity that we often neglect and forget about. My brothers and sisters, we are called as the body of Christ to lift one another up. Jesus didn't just come for us Lutherans. He didn't come for just Methodists, just Presbyterians. We are all one as the body of Christ, which is why I'm so intentional in the rite of institution to say that all are welcome to this table. All. Who am I to deny someone communion? Who am I to say, you're not worthy? That's God's gift, not mine. And we need to think about the unity that is created whenever we lift up God in song. You know, it's very intentional that we do confession and we say our creeds openly together so that we can hear one another in our midst. For some of you, you sit in the exact same place every Sunday. Have you ever tried sitting in a different place to see if it sounds different? I hope you have. Because sometimes, I got to tell you, sometimes I'm not here to make you feel comfortable. I am here to convict you and to conflict you about your faith so that you wrestle with it, so that you then on your own figure out, what does it mean for the unity of Christ in me? We say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What does that mean to me personally? We are one in the Spirit, right? That song? We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. That's what Jesus came for. The unity. And it's not just about us as Americans. It's every nation that is represented. And that's what makes Earth Day so important, both as a church to celebrate, but certainly as Christians, as disciples of Christ. God calls us to be one. Oftentimes that we get so internalized with what I need to do for me. How many of you can honestly say that you know your neighbor's name? Raise your hand. You know your neighbor's name on both sides of your home. Maybe even in the back fence behind you. Well, Donna's got a forest behind her, so she's... I know she's maybe the squirrels she might say hello to. Look, how many of you can honestly say that you pray for your neighbors? Okay, a little bit fewer hands went up that time. Why? Because we just don't think about that. But now, let me ask you this question. How many of you know who David Brandos is? Our missionary. Where is he located? Mexico. Do you know that we support a missionary in this congregation? If you don't, you do now. And do you pray for David and his ministry? If you don't, you should be. We support that as a church. And when we are willing to lift up one another, to look at one another the way Christ looks at us, then there is no division. We are designed to be in communion with each other, to be in unity with each other. That's what Jesus is talking about being sanctified in the truth. The truth of what? What is truth? The Word of God, the gospel that God calls us to proclaim. And when we remember our baptismal identity, receive the sacrament that this is our nourishment right here. This is what gives us the ability to then go out and look at one another, no matter the language, no matter the barrier, and say, you are my brother, you are my sister. And so I invite you this week to think about the unity of God within your own lives. And certainly pray for our country, pray for our nation, pray for all countries in conflict. That should be a part of your daily prayers, and I invite you to think about that today. Pray for David. Pray for his ministry. Continue to uplift one another, even the countries we don't like that are up here. And there are a few, right? We all know that. But God doesn't say, let's pray for these, not these. Nope. We pray for our enemies. We pray for those who will hurt us. Pray probably for them the most. That's what God calls us to do, to be one in Christ. And so today, think about all the countries that we will lift up in prayer during the healing of the nations. And I invite you all to be one with Christ. Amen.